If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
These guys have earnings coming up next week.
Then you got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean,
15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are. Welcome to Tuesday afternoon in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Steve Bertrand here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. It has been a rough day so far on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial, though, is down now, it looks like 196 points, so certainly better than it has been earlier in the day. Waiting in our PPG Paints green room today, Clem Martin. He is the president of Christ the King Jesuit College Prep, the Wintrust community leader. Great story about a school on the west side with a perfect college acceptance rate. So we will talk to Clem a little bit later. But let's start with Wall Street. John Najarian from CNBC joins us from Lake Zurich, the northwestern suburbs. Welcome to the Business Lunch.
Exactly, northwestern suburbs. The other Zurich.
Najarian is talking cryptocurrency in Europe again. Listen, I appreciate you joining us from overseas today. And maybe you're over there for cover. It's been a rough day so far on Wall Street.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple weeks, actually. A little over a week ago, we had a week where we dropped 1,100 points in 3 days. And then last week, we just barely eked out a gain for the Dow Jones Industrials. I don't think the NASDAQ and S&P were quite as lucky. But yeah, it's something where markets are nervous. I guess it's to be expected, given that the election that we thought was pretty certain would be House Democrats, Republicans taking the Senate, maybe even gaining seats. Now it looks like it's a toss-up for the House, and that bit of uncertainty, along with Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and all of the ramifications of that, have the markets on edge.
That's interesting you say that, because Larry Kudlow, that we just had a cut of him in the news. I know he's a friend of yours, and you know I think he's a pretty respectable guy. But he said just the opposite. He said that he thinks the sell-off today is because Wall Street is worried the Democrats are going to reverse the president's tax cuts. You just said it seemed to be that perhaps they were worried that the Republican, you know, the Russell certainty that maybe the Republicans will hold the House.
Well, and you know, I guess both of us read different things into it. I'm certainly not going to take Larry's thunder away. Dude's a mentor of mine and a brilliant guy, but without. Unless somebody sees something that I clearly don't about the Senate, granted, all spending bills start in the House, but they also have to pass the Senate. So I don't see some sort of rollback coming unless Larry sees something completely different from the election cycle, which would be beyond what I'm looking at right now.
I mean, a part of it,
I think the markets are just nervous in general.
Just you also have two very different roles. Larry Kudlow is working for someone else right now, you know, and he's got to speak for him from time to time. So one other question, then we'll get to the trading. But you know, the president's been talking about this tax cut, 10% middle class tax cut that he says he's going to come out with before the midterm elections. Kudlow asked about that as well and said, well, it's in the planning stages and seemed to put it beyond the midterm. But what do you make of that talk?
Well, I think that it would be a wise thing to do, in particular if the president does hold the House, a wise thing to do to give the middle class even more to feel in their pockets to make them believe that the cuts that have been made so far were more than just to the wealthy. They were, of course, impacting middle class, but apparently he feels there should have been more to the middle class, and I don't think that's a bad thing if they can pull it off.
All right, let's look to some of the numbers today. Caterpillar's having a rough day. They came out with their earnings report, blamed tariffs for some of their increased cost, and last I saw they were down, well, they were down earlier about 8%. I don't know where they are just now.
Right, and they will be one of many blaming tariffs. It's kind of like when currency fluctuations hurt you and you're an international company. They're sort of both. Obviously, Caterpillar, Boeing, both big international companies, that depend on how accurately they can hedge the foreign currency exposure, not just whether or not the president, beyond their control at all, chooses to enact tariffs and then follows through with them and doubles down on them, as he is wont to do. So we'll have to exactly see how long this is going to impact them, much like a hurricane, when the insurance companies take the write-down when the storm is coming. They can also take it as a profit, believe it or not, if the storm doesn't do as much damage. The same thing's true of these companies that are blaming tariffs. Right. I'm not saying they're wrong, Steve. I'm just saying if indeed there's some sort of deal reached at the G20 between President Trump and Xi Jinping, then I think you'd see, of course, a pretty serious rally, because they'd roll those right back into profit.
That's the other thing that Larry Kudlow said today, that the two would be meeting at the G20. I think the Harley story is kind of interesting today. I don't know how much you've seen from overseas, but their sales, their deliveries dropped 13% in the third quarter, but they made more money because they're selling more expensive bikes.
Yeah, and Harley can be a very tough company to read in that regard. Perhaps people were spending tax windfall and upgrading the bikes, which could be one possibility. It certainly was not in the cards that people expected it. So this is a surprise and a welcome one, I must say.
John Najarian joining us from Zurich today, where he's talking cryptocurrency. All right, give us a tip. What are you watching?
All right, well, one of the stocks that we are watching a lot is actually the home builders ETF, ITB. Because many of us, and I'm counting myself in there, Stephen, believe that rates have topped out or are very close to topping out. And I know that's not all that popular, but I believe that the rates over here in Europe, as well as other factors, could cause our rates to have reached a zenith just recently at 3.25 on the 10-year. And if indeed we hold and or go lower, I think that's going to be a bullish thing for a home builder sector, and ITB hits the home builders. It also hits Home Depot, Lowe's, and those kind of companies. So I'm buying that one today.
John Najarian, safe travels. Thanks for talking today.
Thank you, sir.
It's 12:23. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, here on 720 WGN. Thanks very much for tuning in. Tim Roach is in the studio, the CEO, of course, of Lender. We talk about Lender a lot on the show, and Tim's just back from a big party in San Antonio. He was Lender was named on Inc.'s 5,000 list of fastest-growing companies in the U.S. Congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be back.
How was the party?
The party was great. It was a great venue. It's, you know, an honor to be part of the Inc. 5,000 fastest growing companies in America. And it was down in San Antonio. So it was, you know, Texas like to do everything a little bit bigger down there. So it was a lot of fun.
I've never been to San Antonio. People say it's really nice.
I was there for a day. So it looked really nice to me flying in.
Okay. So you were there with a lot of other business owners, right?
Yes.
Was there common threads? Were there common stories that you picked up from them?
Yeah, that was the really fun part. And the reason I wanted to go down was to be able to talk to other entrepreneurs. And it was really exciting to see that many, and there was a common thread. The thread was, how did you initially raise your money? And the initial answer was friend and families, right. and then where did you go for working capital? Where did you go for other ability to get access to capital? And we all came back to, you know, different types of specialty finance. And as lenders, an online lender, I probably picked up hopefully 10 to 15 clients in San Antonio. Yeah.
Well, thank Inc. for that. Right.
Right.
That
absolutely.
Was worth the ticket. Well, tell me about. It's interesting to me that, you know, obviously every business is unique, but you know they share qualities or they share needs, and funding certainly is one of them. Tell me, we talk about Lender here, but just give people a little primer. What is it we're talking about?
Well, Lender's an online lender. We specialize in traditional factoring from payroll to AR, accounts receivable, to purchase orders, as well as business financing. And we just launched our Lender business debit card, credit card with our clients. So we're trying to create several options for our business owner to have and to get financing that actually is right for them and not just in a box that you fit in, as we see with banks and other lenders try to put everybody
Explain
in.
Explain for me that what you mean by factoring.
So we'll factor a client. Let's say you have 100 delivery trucks and you deliver for Amazon, and your payroll is $400,000 a week. We will actually advance you 85% of your payroll each week to help you grow.
I see.
It's one area that we create financing solutions for our clients that need that. Purchase orders, the same thing, and just straight unsecured loans or advances that we do as well off your future receivables.
Obviously, you're growing. You're here on WGN Radio. I see you on GNTV with the Blackhawks games as well.
Yeah, we just launched our TV ad, so you get to see my mug on TV a little bit, which is fun. But it is great. I'm glad we partnered with you guys on TV as well. It's an exciting time to be able to have the radio and the TV and get our message out there and what we're trying to do in the small business community.
It used to be the beauty of radio is no one could see you, but now everything's online too. So people are really, really gluttons for punishment. They could watch this show. I don't suggest it. I think it would be a bad idea, Tim.
I like radio myself.
And so with the money coming, here we come into the holidays, right? Is this or maybe it's a year end. I mean, what is it about this time of year that might drive people to you?
Well, it is the fall. It's the holiday, Thanksgiving and into the holidays. People are looking constantly for extra inventory, staffing up more employees, factoring, like I said, their pay before that, some physical improvement. This is a great time of the year to get basically that working capital that you need and to allow your business to grow.
And it's the sort of thing that you do. I don't want to use the right term, but you can do it quickly. I mean, you don't want to do it fly by night, or you want to do it off the seat of your pants, but you can get it done pretty quickly.
We can. I think that's what separates us from our competition now is, one, our customer service. We really care about our clients and continue to try to improve on that every day. The second, to your point, is speed. We came from a world where we were 8-9 hours on a full underwrite, too. We're under 90 minutes on every single file, so we can actually give our client a real-time answer.
Wow.
and give them an opportunity to get working capital as little as one day. Typically, it takes 1 to 2, but we do it as little as one day. And the last part of that I'll mention is, once again, it's the creativity in the way we create solutions for our clients. We've had some clients that want to ramp up, meaning they're going to be slow until the holidays. Well, we don't charge them the same or debit them, if you will, from a weekly or daily or even semi-monthly. We create a ramp-up phase for them, and they really, really like that. A lot of our clients have started coming to us and saying, hey, I'm really busy in the fall. Can I pay more when I'm busier?
Tim Roach is the CEO of Lender. How do people find you?
You can call us at 312-319-1057 or visit us at www.lender, that's LENDR.online.
All right, nice to see you again, Tim.
You too, Steve. Thank you.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. We'll talk a little bit later in the program with Kelly Leonard. You know, he's got that podcast, Getting to Yes And. And I can't wait to talk to him about his guest on this week's episode. It's Michelle Gelfand, I think is how you pronounce it, but she is a cultural psychologist, and so she looks at this difference between so-called tight cultures and loose cultures and how they react to things differently, how they're formed. And so we'll talk to Kelly about that a little bit later. But right now in the studio, Clem Martin is here. He's the president of Christ the King Jesuit College Prep. And during the news, of course, we were listening to Kim, but then we were also talking about all the old Jesuits we know. Welcome, Clem.
Thanks for having me today.
So I'm a Jesuit educated Marquette, and you are Holy Cross.
Yes, as well as a degree from Loyola University here in Chicago as well.
So. And so now you're leading Christ the King, which is a Jesuit college prep as well.
Yeah, we're out on the west side in the Austin community serving about 350 kids.
Tell me about the school. I mean, one of the things that jumps out right away is the fact that 100% of your graduates get accepted into college.
Yeah, we have a great college prep program. We serve kids predominantly from the west side, from under-resourced communities of Austin, East and West Garfield Park, and North Lawndale. And we have a great college counselor, Dan Zundel, is responsible for a lot of that work and making sure kids have access to higher education and four-year schools.
You're dealing with kids who might not have had a lot of opportunities before they got to Christ the King, right? Does it make it more challenging?
I think it is challenging, but our kids have a transformational opportunity in our corporate work study program, so they get to experience life in the business world and kind of see what comes through hard work and education.
Clem is here because he's our Wintrust community leader on this Tuesday afternoon. Tell me about that work study program.
So our work study program allows kids to go to a Jesuit college prep school. Kind of they go to work 5 days a month, and through their work, they are able to afford, they earn their tuition to go to Christ the King.
So, so is there like a day that they would have been in classes and instead they're going into a professional workplace?
Sure. So if you're a senior, instead of going to school on Tuesday, you come in, you check in at school, and you go off to work, and you work a full day at a different country company. Wintrust is one of our companies that's a great partner.
I bet they are, sure, yeah. I mean, but we're not talking about working at a hot dog stand, though. These are career-driven jobs.
Yeah, they're an access into what it's like in corporate America. And so they're doing kind of pre-professional skills in a white-collar world and kind of learning what's out there in terms of opportunity. They're working in banks, they're working in law firms, they're working in hospitals, a variety of different jobs across across industries.
And the trade-off is they're being paid then, and that money is helping to pay for their schooling.
Yeah, and the model was set up that way, and that definitely provides the funding for their education. But what we learned over the years is it's really a bridge to opportunity. For someone who's never been to college and has nobody in their family that's been to college, everyone tells them, you know, go to college, but people don't understand what's at the back end of that. And our work-study program gives kids a glimpse into the world of finance, the world of banking, and shows them opportunities that are available through hard work and education.
You know, that is such an obvious thing you just said that I think that I lose track of or people don't realize. You know, it's because it's in our experience doesn't mean that it's in someone else's experience and that it's sometimes hard to relate to. I mean, even with my own kids getting a job or taking it, you know, we know what it's like to get a summer job, but if they've never done it before, they don't. And so you need an introduction that way, and I think that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, for a lot of our families, the Austin community has high unemployment, and so a lot of our families struggle to find work. And so a lot of our students don't have that experience of someone sitting around their dinner table explaining their day at a job and a day at an office.
That was a lousy day at work today.
Yeah, so I think this is a great opportunity for our kids to come downtown. Many of our kids, before coming to Christ the King, have never been downtown, haven't ridden on an elevator, a lot of different experiences.
That's true. A lot of them had not been downtown.
So poverty isolates, and so if you're on the West Side at times, having access to other communities and the issue of violence and safety in the community is real, and so kids struggle to kind of get from place A to place B at times. And so Christ the King provides that transportation, so the kids check in at school before going downtown, and we bring them downtown.
I was asking you off the air about what one of your challenges is, and is identifying these jobs.
Yeah, and so as our school has grown in enrollment over the past couple of years, we're looking for additional opportunities for our kids. We're looking for new corporate sponsors. For every four kids we add, we need another job for those students. We promise them an experience, and we need companies throughout Chicago to kind of step up and partner with us and give kids access to opportunity.
And that's part of what we're talking about, too, right? You know, it's not just X's and O's or algebra and history. It's the work experience and that, and then a community service. It's all one package at Christ the King.
Yeah, and when the kids go to work, they meet great people who have gone to college and mentor them and help them navigate kind of that world and the application process. So it's more than just the job experience there. It's the relationship building social capital while they're downtown as well.
Now, this school opened, what, in 2008?
Yep, so we're year 11 right now.
That's interesting because, you know, you think of a lot of Catholic schools having been around forever, not being sort of a startup. Does that impact the way you run things? Is it sort of established and it's not so much of an issue?
The original Cristo Rey Model School opened 23 years ago in Pilsen and kind of set the standard for kind of for the schools that followed. So I think having an example to follow that was set years before us is helpful. But it's still, you go through some growing pains as you get off the ground and get things going.
What's the favorite part of your job?
It's interacting with kids. I have fun. I grew up playing sports and basketball, and I'm working at a high school. We have a lot of talented athletes, and so I always enjoy going in the gym after school, see kids playing volleyball, kids playing basketball. We started a football program 2 years ago, which has excited the whole school community and our band and everybody else associated with that.
Here is because you're a Wintrust community leader, so you mentioned you partner with them in some of the jobs for the kids, but how else does Wintrust help you?
I think they're more than a job partner. I think Ed Wehmer kind of set the standard in terms of corporate social responsibility. There's three Cristo Rey schools in the Chicagoland area, and they provide 8 jobs for our kids. So 32 students are provided opportunities through Wintrust across the Cristo Rey schools here in the area. And when you go to a basketball game or you go to a softball game, I wouldn't be surprised if there's somebody from Wintrust who works with our students at those games supporting our kids. They do a tremendous job kind of and just are the whole package, and they kind of walk the walk in terms of community relationships and being a great partner.
Clem Martin, the president of Christ the King Jesuit College, thanks for coming in. Thanks for doing the great work. And I would imagine it's pretty easy for, if we've got bosses out there who want to maybe contribute, to find you online, or where do they find you?
Sure, they can find us at our school website, ctkjesuit.org, and we're always looking for new companies to partner with and new opportunities for our students.
Thanks for coming by, Clem.
Thanks for having me.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. How about some architecture today? Or a lack thereof? The site of the infamous Chicago Spire building has had a number of projects cross the downtown alderman's desk, but the latest was rejected. So there continues to be a giant hole unable to be filled in the middle of our city. Yep. The Spire project started over 10 years ago and was abandoned shortly after construction began. But Related Midwest is the company looking to develop the site, although the strict alderman has had the current residents' well-being in mind throughout the entire time. Think about it. You're at home in Lincoln Park and someone wants to build a 1,000-foot skyscraper next door. There's going to be a few road bumps. But there are bad road bumps and good road bumps for every business. Like over at the Old Town School of Music. They've decided to sell their Lincoln Park location, focusing on operations at their main Lincoln Square school. It's all in an effort to begin a $10 million endowment fund. You gotta sell that prime real estate sometime, and they're taking advantage of the hot times. Ah, ooh, ow, ow, hot. Ow. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, Kelly Leonard is in the studio. He's the host of the podcast Getting to Yes And, which is a play off a common improv game or term.
Yes.
Where he talks to different thought leaders. And I am so excited to talk to you today about, does she pronounce her name Gelfand?
Michelle Gelfand.
Michelle Gelfand. She comes out of the University of Maryland, and she's got a book out called Rule Makers, Rule Breakers. She's a cultural psychologist.
Yeah.
And so she talks about the differences between sort of loose societies and tight societies. Explain that for me.
Yeah. So she was looking for what's causing these divisions that we've got, you know, certainly in this country, but over eons, you know, and centuries in different cultures. And what she discovered was that primarily the fights that we're having are between people who emanate or believe in a tight culture versus people who believe in a loose culture. And let's give an American example of that. Tight cultures tend to be areas of the country that are maybe under threat by Mother Nature.
That's what they share.
Yeah.
If you're tight, you're sort of tightening together because you're under threat. It's for protection.
And it could be economic threat. It could be Mother Nature. It could be invasion. So the South, for example, was invaded by the North.
Right.
And those roots are still there. Now, loose cultures tend to have a greater tolerance for diversity. Many cities are this, and also have a lot more creativity and innovation happen in them. Now, lest one make a rather simple judgment on one being better than the other, her theory is that you kind of need both.
Right.
So an example is in tight cultures, they studied the clocks in all those sort of public squares, and they all said the right time. In loose cultures, no one had the right time.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, but so then you're talking, because we can talk country by country.
Yeah.
And we can say, you know, that France is a loose culture.
Right.
But in the U.S. is over in general.
The U.S. is, because it was founded by immigrants, it is founded as a loose country, but we have tight areas.
Right. So it goes in the loose column. But it's like voting, right?
Just like voting.
It could be a red country but have blue areas.
Some of the facts that were really interesting to me is in tight cultures, there's way less left-handed people.
Really?
Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't left-handed people. It's just that they made them.
They switched or they
yes.
didn't.
Yes, and
adapted.
I think you went to a Catholic school.
Yeah, but I did not that young.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we go and, you know, I want to be careful because I don't like to be political on the show. I try not to, but we can sort of see the way the political leadership will appeal because a tight culture tends to be more fearful.
Well,
right?
Yeah. So what's playing out here very classically is you have a certain political party that is very speaking to very fear-based, talking about immigrants, the other, those kinds of people.
Let's not even do the party. It's the president.
Not the party. Yeah, the president.
President.
And then, but you know, on the other side, you know, what do other people talk about, whether it's Hillary Clinton or the left, and, you know, very much celebrating diversity and diversity of thought, diversity of being, the gender spectrum, and these are some people get afraid of this stuff.
But so as we come up to the midterm here, 10 days away or so, you've got the president talking about the caravan, the threat
yes.
of immigration. You've got him bringing up again the threat of transgender people, mm-hmm. so that they're going to, and so those are direct appeals to the tidies among us.
Yeah.
Who would react to that.
Yeah. And by the way,
they tend to be people who, that's kind of who voted for the president.
Yeah. And nothing new here.
Right.
This is what's playing. It's not only playing out now in terms of Brexit or in other areas, Le Pen in France, but it has played out for centuries. This is how invaded, you know, you're going to be invaded is a great message for people who want to maintain a semblance of power, because frankly, when, you know, your individual rights mean nothing if you're going to be dead.
Only I can fix it.
Yeah, only I can fix it.
Okay, so let's get out of this. But but she also argues, though, that we in a country, we need both.
Yeah, absolutely. So California is a great example of this, which, founded by immigrants, is definitely got all the hallmarks of a loose culture, but has a lot of threats, natural disasters, you know, that approach it. So you've got Orange County and other pockets there. And you see so much innovation coming out of California. And I think in part of that is because you do have this tight and loose meeting each other. The tightness of sort of the tech sector with the looseness of the sort of innovators.
I can't wait to check out this podcast, Getting to Yes And. You can get it at WGNRadio.com and elsewhere.
Yep.
Kelly Leonard, nice for coming by.
Thanks.